Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
These are unprecedented times in which we live. This stuff's never happened before. That's why we call it unprecedented. They're serving time, but there hasn't even been a trial. This is from localmemphis.com, and Confabulous sent it to me. And what's going on right now in Shelby County, innocent people who have not been convicted are being held in jail. Families waiting for justice aren't getting it. And there are no jury trials because there's no way you can get a jury and all other people into a Shelby County courtroom using social distancing. Mike Matthews wrote the article, and what's happening in Tennessee is happening all across America on some degree or another. And it's causing massive problems, and we don't know how this is going to resolve. This raises constitutional issues, but we'll get to that. It's a bad situation. This is according to the administrative judge, Lee Coffey, and it won't get any better anytime soon. He says jury trials statewide have been suspended through the end of January because of the spike in COVID-19. But the judge said he's not even sure if jury trials can resume in January. He said, I just don't know that we'll be able to try cases through February. It may be possible in other areas of the state, but until we do something about the courthouse, it'll be very difficult. Shelby County is spending an estimated $60 million to renovate the courtrooms and offices. The project has been delayed several times. It leaves Judge Coffey and the others with a judicial albatross hanging around their robes. There's no way we can socially distance, folks, says the judge. There's no way we can try cases without being a ground zero, without being an epicenter for another coronavirus outbreak. There's something else, he says. On a given Monday, we might have 600 to 800 people in the jury assembly room. There's no way we can have that many people in that small an area. And if you've ever gone through jury duty, you know that they call in a bunch of people and usually stick them in a holding area. And then they draw them out randomly and send them to different courtrooms. And that holding area is often just a big old cattle pen, figuratively speaking. And I've gone through the process before. I remember sitting in a gigantic room filled with people, all trying to kill time, And hoping your name doesn't get called. Judges are hearing cases that don't depend on jurors. Judge Coffey says it is time that the city and county leaders begin discussing building a new facility. It's the worst of all worlds, he said. We have a lot of folks whose individual rights have been affected. They have a right to a speedy trial, and that is in the Constitution, my friends. You've got the right to a speedy trial. What defines speedy is a little less clear. But the idea that they can put you in a jail and say, we're going to hold you until trial, we just don't know when that could be. We literally don't know when it could be. And the question is, of course, if you could get out on bail, I suppose that might help you, but some people can't afford it. So you also have victims and families that have a right to a speedy trial also. So, and that's the other thing people forget is that let's suppose a crime gets committed and someone gets arrested for it. Well, there's a victim of the crime who's going to testify in court, presumably. And then there's the person who's accused of the crime who's going to be sitting there on trial. And the idea that the defendant is entitled to a speedy trial is enshrined in the Constitution. But by dragging out how long it takes to go to trial, we're not helping the other people who need resolution. And so someone who's a victim of a crime kind of wants to see justice, I would assume. And so they're told, oh, by the way, we think we arrested the person who did this to you, but we can't put him on trial right now. We just don't know when we can. We don't know when we can. And so I can tell you right now that a good friend of mine is trying a case, an extremely serious case in Michigan, okay? And his case was in front of a jury in March. My friend's an attorney. And the prosecution put in all their evidence. They put out all their witnesses. They were done with their case, and they rested their case in chief. My friend, who's a defense attorney, actually put his first witness on the stand, started doing his direct examination, and the judge said, we have to take a break. I got to know we have to take a break. It's March 13th, Friday the 13th of March. You might remember that day as being the day when things started to shut down. The judge left. Judge came back out and said, we have a problem. We've been told to adjourn. And we got to put everything on hold. We'll let you know. Boom. Well, my friend, who's the attorney, goes back to his office, but his client goes back to jail. His client's being held without bail right now. Without bail. So his client has been sitting in jail since March. That's problem number one. Now, problem number two is, when they decide to restart cases, they're going to call up my friend, the attorney, and say, hey, your case is going to start again. Let's say it's March. It might be, right? They call my friend up and go, ready to go. They bring everyone back in the courtroom, and do they simply hit pause and then unpause and start as if nothing had happened in the year between when they took the break and when they restarted? Because the jury now has had a full length of time to have the prosecution's case in their head, marinating, as we say, but hasn't heard anything yet from the defense. And so there's a problem with that. There's a problem with how people get convinced of things. So if you're discussing something with somebody and they're trying to convince you otherwise of what you believe in, it's not something people think about a whole lot, the art or act of persuasion, what makes you get persuaded to change your mind about something. And they will tell you that a few of the things that actually really impact how you believe something is what you hear first, primacy, or what you heard most recently, recency. Primacy and recency are two things they talk about. And this is actually something they talk about when they teach attorneys how to do trials. And so quite often, what will stick in someone's mind is the first thing they hear. So that's why they always tell people, if you're an attorney doing trials, you don't walk out and start giving a long dissertation at the front end of your opening statement without getting to the meat of the matter. You want to hit it hard and hit it fast so that people know what you're talking about, and you're hoping it'll stick. And think of all the times where someone told you something that was wrong, but because you didn't know any better, you believed it to be true. Because, yeah, I trust this person. They told me such and such. Later on, you're told that's not true, and let me show you why. It's actually a little harder to dislodge that false information out of your head because it got there. And again, I'm not a psychologist, but I've read books on advertising as well, and it applies in advertising, where if somebody can plant an idea in your head and get it stuck there, it's harder to dislodge it than it was to put it there in the first place. So if I was a defense attorney and my guy was on trial for a very serious crime and the prosecution got to put in their whole case and then the case got paused and adjourned for a year, you can imagine that you scream and yell about your constitutional right to a speedy trial. And here is an example where that's, I would assume, likely influence how the jury thinks, because they've had a full year, assuming my hypothetical is true, they don't call them back for till March, a full year to process and absorb the prosecution's case and have not heard a single bit of evidence except for part of testimony from one witness from the defense. And so the argument, of course, is that the person probably should just get a brand new trial. But we don't know what's going to happen. So right now, this is happening all across America. There were things that were happening in March that got paused, and people thought the pause was going to be short. I remember talking to my friends in March, and we were discussing what we were going to be doing in April, actually thinking that, hey, a few weeks down the road, this whole thing should blow over. And then, of course, as more and more came out about it, we realized, oh, it ain't going to be April or May or June. You know, and here we are, past Thanksgiving, and they're discussing whether or not things can open up in January or February. And so the full year now looks more likely than not. So there are people sitting in jail right now, and every single one of them can point to the Constitution and go, I've got a right to a speedy trial. And every single court is going to look at this and go, everybody got put on hold for a year. But that doesn't necessarily trump the Constitution. The question then is, what do you do? What do you do? So this is a very serious problem. And I'm glad that Confabulous sent me the story. I do suggest in the future, if you send me an email with a link, please put your name at the bottom. Because there was no name on this. It just simply, that's part of the email address, Confabulous. So from localmemphis.com, and Mike Matthews wrote the story. We're going to be seeing more and more of these kinds of stories about things that got put on hold for such an egregious length of time that it's going to cause all kinds of problems, not just in the court system, elsewhere. So it's an interesting problem, to say the least. And like I said, these are unprecedented times in which we live. Questions or comments, put them below. Otherwise, I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. The River Visa, deep and wide, washes its wall on the southern side.